The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Climb that marble stair. You What a great song. And that is the latest release off of James Maddox's latest release, which is No Time to Cry. And that's such a great song. And we have James in the studio today, as well as my co-host Spencer Drake. And we're going to be talking about the latest release and a lot of the fantastic work that James has been doing all these years. And just want to say really quickly, if you want to listen to the show afterwards, it will be available on Red Velvet Media as well as on iTunes and all major podcasts. It'll be available as a podcast if you want to download it later. And if you're listening live, thank you for tuning in, because I know that there were quite a few people that asked me how to listen to the show today. So I did post the link, and with that, I just want to say happy fall, happy autumn, and we're going into the weekend, and what a great show to go into the weekend with. So let me bring James into the studio as well as Spencer as we talk about his latest release, which is beautiful. I just love it. Hold on one moment here. I've got James and I've got Spencer, yeah. I'm waiting. There you guys are.
All right.
Hello.
Hey, we're all here. Hi. Happy autumn, hey. Everyone.
Hey.
Yeah, you Hello. Know, autumn for me here is, I'm on the West Coast. They're both on the East Coast. They get it, but, you know, I'm really lucky because I'm closer to the Oregon border, so I get to see the changes in the seasons.
Wow.
So. It's starting here. The trees are starting to change. So
wow.
It's absolutely beautiful. And it's harvest time, guys.
Yeah.
So James, this release is beautiful. And it's absolutely
really
gorgeous.
One.
And I know that Spencer and I have quite a few questions about it, but what I'd like you to do, if you don't mind, is just say hi to our listeners out there and let everyone know a little bit about yourself and, a little bit about what you've done. And then we can segue into this latest release, which I think would be fantastic.
Okay. Well, I am James Maddock, and I was born in Leicester in England. And I moved to London when I was in my 20s. I spent maybe 20 years there. Then I came over to New York about 20 years ago, maybe something like 18 years ago now. And I've been based since then, and put out a number of records over the years. I had a record deal on Columbia Records, and we put out an album under my band name, which was at Wood. And that did okay. People liked it. And then obviously we got dropped. And then I just put out my own records, and every year or two I put out a new album, thanks to the fans who've been incredibly generous with their crowdfunding, which has basically fueled the whole thing for me, because I don't have a label. And this new record came out just a few weeks ago, so I'm based in New York, and I make my music here now.
Yeah, no. I know Spence and I both really enjoyed this latest release. And I wanted to say also that you recorded all of this in Vail, Colorado, right, in 2019?
No, I did most of it. I did half of it in Vail. And then actually I think it was – late last year, and then I did the rest of it here in New York earlier this year.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So it kind of bridged those two areas. I have a friend in Colorado called Scott Redner, and he has a band called Brothers Keeper, and we're good friends, and I started making the album over there, and then I came back to New York, and then I went back to Vail to do some other overdubs, and so it was a backwards, back and forth thing between here and Colorado. And that's how it came about.
Yeah, I know. We both want to know who played on this one. Who were your bandmates?
Well, The violin, the main, the drumming is all Aaron Comes, who's been my, you know, plays with me all the time, and he used to be in the Spin Doc, well, he's in the Spin Doctors, I suppose, he's still in that band.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
he's,
cool.
He's yeah. been playing with me for
nice.
Forever in the New York. It's basically Drew Mortali on the bass and me on the bass. It's I do all the guitars pretty much, and then it's Brian Mitchell from the Weight Band and the Levon Helm Band on keyboards, and a guy called Ben Stivers
wow.
who just went out with Lyle Lovett actually for a while
oh.
on keyboards.
Oh, nice!
And then a great violinist who I met in New York called Heather Hardy. And we started to play a little bit in New York, and I just thought she was just great. And then I invited her to play on the album. So it's got that violin. She did so brilliant. She brought that flavor to the record. And Scott, of course, in Colorado, and those guys doing some backing vocals and some singing. And that's essentially it, you know, maybe five or six people.
Mm-hmm. And you recorded this all during the pandemic, too, but still...
Well, yeah,
currently
on
going
off.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see. You know, as Spencer would, and I'm going to talk about it, the artwork on the inside, you know, the photography. I love the picture with the other guy wearing gloves and a mask, and then you're
yeah.
sitting there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I love the other picture with the red, and that's a lovely picture of you on the back.
Right.
Oh,
you look very
you.
Happy and content, and I wanted to say I was really touched. I wanted to know, it says, in loving memory of Stacy Letterman. Who's am I saying her name right? Who
yeah.
is Stacy to you?
She was just a fan that used to come to the gigs, and a beautiful woman and a great supporter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
She died.
That's fantastic. How beautiful that you did that.
Well,
yeah.
You know, I really value the people that come to the shows mean the world to me. You know, she used to come, and I'm very fond of Stacey and her sister, and so she died of cancer. It was a terrible thing,
wow.
I just wanted to
mention.
No,
I hear you. Yeah, no. And I see you produced it along with Scott Rednor. Is that how you say his name? Rednor?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
He's a great guy.
But do you have any questions about the artwork?
Well,
or
you know, it's interesting. I could see James's very attraction to New York because obviously the song titles, Williamsburg Bridge, you know, the A Train and New York, another New York. Yeah, I really love that. You know, the feeling of it. One thing I wanted to say, though, I mentioned to Holly, you have an amazing voice, and it's kind of like I go back to the early Rod Stewart Gasoline Alley. Do you know that album?
Sure, I do.
Well,
yeah,
the
sure
song
I
that I think, and because you mentioned violin, which plays into this, you should do a cover of Cut Across Shorty, which I think is one of the most phenomenal songs he ever did in blues feeling.
Yeah.
And he's got a big riff with the violin, if you know the production of the song, a very big riff with violin. And I could see you doing a song like that. Well, how do you, I don't know. I just said, he should have it on his next album. He should do it on your next album. Because your voice,
totally
the feeling
that.
Of it. Yeah, the feeling
yeah.
of it. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because I've seen that you have done a few covers, James, but most of the music is your own music that is original. But what Spencer's talking about, when we were talking, I said, well, I'm really picking up some, different, you know, vibes of different people. But this is very unique. You've got your own sound. And I know you've been compared to many people, but you know what? I always like to say, you know what? You're James Maddox. This is your
right, okay.
sound. So, yeah.
Well, everybody,
you know what I mean?
Everybody has their influences and their.
Oh,
everybody
yeah.
sounds like there's nothing new under the sun here. Everybody sounds like somebody, and I like.
Oh yeah, no. Totally get that. Yep.
You know what I mean?
But
well, you know what I want to ask, Holly? I want to ask something, James. Do you have any influences from the English part of you, or Ireland? Do you have any influences in music from there?
I grew up listening to, obviously, the Beatles and the Stones a lot.
Yeah.
I'm particularly fond of John Martin, the Scottish.
Oh, John Martin.
Nice.
Wait a minute. I got to tell you something, and you can go on. I didn't mean to interrupt. But I used to go to Kenny's Castaways in New York. And Pat Kenny, who owned a great music venue, who many famous musicians came from, and I met down there. John Martin was a big fan of John Martin. So John Martin would come in. This is a great story. John Martin would come in late at night. He'd sit in a chair, and he'd play guitar. And you know what I remember? I could see him on the stage. His body moved, and he'd be rocking in this chair with his guitar, and he had the most amazing sound. Right, John? I mean, James? Amazing sound, right?
He was a virtuoso guitar player, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A real
singer, songwriter.
Great
and
person.
I love Paul Brady as well, talking of the Irish. I love the Paul Brady side of things. And I used to love a band called The Moving Hearts, which was Donald Lunny and Christy Moore. And they were kind of a political Irish Celtic thing, which I absolutely loved that sound and that tradition. And I played a lot of Irish when I was younger, in living in Leicester. I played a lot of Irish clubs with Irish bands, so that's probably in my blood as well.
Okay, thank you.
I wanted to say really quickly, and this is a tech, when you talk, your phone makes a little bit of static. I don't know what it is. Are you on a headset?
No.
Oh, weird. Okay. It's better now. It sounds a little bit better.
It might have been a bit close to me.
Oh, no. There. It sounds perfect now. What I wanted to bring in about this CD, this is your latest release, but I do want to talk about one thing, because when I posted a snippet of a song, because I was looking for this music on Instagram, I found the tribute CD that you played on for Willie Nile, and that one song was just really beautiful. I put that up. That's a really cool song. That must have been really fun doing that CD too.
I'm a big, I love Willie and I love his songs. And when this record came around, I gravitated to, there's so many songs to choose from, but I chose that one.
Sure.
I thought we could do a nice version of it. And
beautiful.
I like it. Come out great. Well, Willie's my friend and I love him dearly. And he's written so many awesome songs. So it's an embarrassment of riches, with Willie.
We love Willie, and we love you, and we love this music. And what we should do, I think, is talk about the different tracks on here. We've got Williamsburg Bridge, The A-Train Takes You Home, which we'll be playing to close, Waiting on My Girl, I've Driven These Roads, The High Chose You, New York Skyline, No Time to Cry, which we opened up with, which is the title track, Open Up to You and Top of the Stairs. Why don't we talk about some of the other tracks and a little bit of, the story behind the songs, which I think is really important because there's always some story behind it.
Sure.
Well,
there are two covers on the album. One is Williamsburg Bridge and one is Darlin' Jeffries' New York Skyline, which I love both of those songs. The Williamsburg Bridge is written by a friend of mine called Carrie Ad Harmon, and she used to play at Rockwood. And I love that song that she played years ago. I heard that song, and I thought, why don't I just do it? What's to stop me?
Right.
And the New York Skyline, I started to play that as well, and I had the A-Train, so the album did have a New York feel to it, but it wasn't by design. It just came out that way, I just didn't really plan it. I just had those songs, our New York songs. The A Train Takes You Home, that was more about, that was a kind of a trip. I wanted it to, the album I wanted to sound somewhere between early Rod Stewart and the Eagles. So I was going for
something
like that.
Ooh, what a great combo.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's a great combo.
That's where I was hitting it all. And I bought this little 12-string acoustic guitar a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote most of the songs on that because it gives this, to get that Rod Stewart-y feel.
Yeah.
And that's where the songs came from, that little guitar.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just put them together over a few months. And, you know, there they are.
Well, you know, there are some really cool tracks on here, and I know both Spencer and myself each listened to it, and we both have our opinion of it. You know, my opinion is, it's really cool. It's just such a great song to just put on, and you know, not song, but the whole thing is really great, and your background is that not only, you know, leading up to this. You've done music that's been featured in series like Who Doesn't Know Dawson's Creek? I mean, Dawson's Creek, that was cool.
Right.
I used to love watching Dawson's Creek, and I listened to that. And I saw a lot of your live performances on YouTube. There's quite a few videos of yourself up there.
That is true.
And
a lot.
You're really great on stage. And then I love how Bruce Springsteen's a fan and David Letterman. So that was really great reading that. You know,
I know that was a good one.
No. It's awesome. You know, and what I thought would be really great would be to ask you. You know, I know that you've played with Bruce. You opened for him, correct?
Well, not really. No, he did the Light of Day thing, right? Which is a yearly event that is about Parkinson's disease.
Mm-hmm.
And well, actually, my story predates that actually with Bruce because when my Wood album came out on Columbia Records.
Mm-hmm.
He was using a couple of my tracks, two or three of my songs, in his walk-in music. You know, the music that they played before the Bruce Springsteen show.
Yeah.
All right. So I found this out, and then I wrote an email to his office and said, you know, hey, I hear Bruce is using my songs and his walk-in music. Where's my money? No, I said that's very cool. I'm a big fan of Bruce,
perfect.
And I love Bruce Springsteen.
Uh-huh.
And then a couple of weeks later, I get an email back saying, "What's your home address? Because Bruce wants to send you something."
Wow.
So I'm like, what could it be?
What did he send you?
He sent me a he sent me a card. Which says, you know, hey James, I do use your music in my walk-in thing. I love the song "Stay You," which was one of my songs. And he was just very nice to me. And then he said, if you ever are in New York, come back and say hello. You know, come back and say hi and be nice to meet you. So,
great.
That was a really nice thing I got from him. And I treasure it. You know, I'm a big Bruce fan.
Yeah, of course.
It was a great thing for him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did go back to meet him, and he was very nice. And then, and then fast forward a few years, I was with Willie at the Light of Day, and Bruce was singing a song, and Willie goes, "Okay, we're going to go on stage and sing with Bruce." And I didn't really know what he.
Oh, wow.
I didn't really pay attention. Then suddenly Willie kind of grabs my hand and pulls me on stage, and I look, and suddenly there I am, you know, on stage with I think it was Because the Night or something, and I thought Bruce definitely looked over to me, and I could see in his eyes he was very he was like, "Who the hell is this guy?"
Yeah.
You had no idea who I was. So I'm not going to claim any kind of deep friendship with Bruce Springsteen, but I definitely got on stage with him at least once or twice and, you know, sang with him and shared the stage with him and
awesome.
Willie. And it was pretty incredible.
Did you get to meet Clarence?
No.
Clarence was a really good, very good friend. He was amazing. And I have to tell my Bruce Springsteen story really quickly because I think that you'll relate to this and maybe back me up on this. He is very quiet. When I knew he at his birthday party, he was really quiet. And it was at the Viper Room of all places, and everybody got up on stage and
That's
played. But the
place.
Minute
yeah.
he was in the audience, and he was not the audience, but he was in the crowd, and everybody was, you know, milling about, and then all of a sudden everybody said, "We're going to play," and Johnny Depp and he and quite a few other people got up on stage, and it was like he came alive. It was like that's just his personality. He's very soft-spoken, very, very intelligent person, and I was shocked because it was just like, wow, you know, he's just like such a showman.
Holly, I got to tell you my Bruce Springsteen story. So I did a lot of work with Joan Jett. So we're at the power station, and Joan invited me to come to the studio. So you go into this room where you can sit around, you know, usually they take the breaks there, musicians. And who's sitting there? Okay, you got to dig this. Bruce and Clarence Clemons are sitting alone.
Love Clarence.
I'm waiting to go into Jones. So I said, wait a minute, I've got it. This is incredible. This may never happen again. Of course, it didn't happen again in my life. And by the way, we designed a book on Bruce Springsteen, which is a beautiful photo book. But anyway, besides that, I sat down and talked to Springsteen and Clarence Clemons for about an hour. And it was the most incredible experience. And one thing he told me, he loved my album covers, which I said, oh, God, I'm going to jump to the ceiling, you know. He knew about my album covers. But he's such a, like Holly said, he's a very warm person. If you get the right experience to talk to him, as of course a lot of writers do in different ways, but Clarence Clemons. They were both incredible people, and I had the experience in my life. I didn't realize at that time that would be the only time up to now, of course, that I had the chance, but it was like God gave me this gift to meet him. You know what I mean? Like Holly, in her experience, you know what I mean? You have this experience, and you may never get it again, but it is a great experience, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Often in life, you don't get to meet your heroes, and if you do, you know, they can be a bit of a disappointment. But it's nice when it is nice, you know, when people are cool.
You know, I wanted to know, did you know that you wanted to do music when you were a young adult? Or, I mean, I know that you played in bands before, obviously, this release, but how soon did you know when you were younger that this is what you wanted to do?
Well, I can actually remember the moment it happened, and I was in school. Yeah. I played trumpet as a young kid and didn't really like it.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
That's great.
I didn't really dig it. And then I was playing the double bass, and I didn't really like that because it's too difficult. I wasn't tall enough or strong enough. And so anyway, I started to play the ukulele as a young kid, and then there were guitars around the house. Anyway, one day I was playing the guitar at school with a drummer and a bass player, and we were just playing. I was on the bass, and my friend was on the guitar, my other friend was on the drums, and we just played E, A, and D, round and round and round and round. And it just felt so exciting to me, that moment. I'll never forget it. And from that second on, I thought, this is it. This is the best thing I've ever done, and I absolutely love to play music with other people. It makes me feel so excited to do it when that moment happened. And I was about 13.
You
14,
knew.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's great.
Who was your mentor? Did you have a mentor?
I'm sorry?
Did you have a mentor? I'm sorry, I did not mean to interrupt you.
No, not really. I had a guitar teacher, and I had teachers at school that hit me to things. So my teacher would say, hey, have you heard of this band? And it would be maybe Neil Young or Rykuda or Kentucky Colonels or Gram Parsons or things that I wouldn't ordinarily come across.
Yeah.
And that was a big influence on me, you know, being able to go to the store and buy records that, from artists that were very virtually unknown in the 70s and, you know, late mid early 70s. So that was my mentorship, Bob Dylan, you know, buying those records and listening and trying to, you know, internalize how to play and, you know, learning how to write songs by listening to my, Randy Newman, you know, my heroes, Bruce Springsteen, Paul Brady, whoever, you know, there's lots
of
them.
Right.
I know that music was really hard to get the right, you know, American music and, you know, stuff like that over.
It was very hard. What you had to do is you had, first of all, the money, and it was expensive to buy a record. You know, it would be all of your week's pocket money, maybe more, to get a record. And then you decide on the record. Then you had to go to the shop and you had to order it. And it would come from America. Not all of the records. You know, you could buy certain records you could buy in the shops. But if there was something unusual that was a bit rare, you had to order it. And then you'd wait like a month. And then you'd go in and then it would be there. And then you would have it. And it was a very precious, very rare, precious object for you to have.
I remember,
Do you remember that? You know, you pour over the lyrics.
I remember. Oh, yeah. It
and
was,
you just look at the pictures and you're so excited.
It was trippy. It was really trippy. It's like you get to hear the music and, you know, not many of the radio stations over there were giving it airplay. But then the few that did give it airplay, you would get, oh, that's the song, and then you'd go down, and yes, of course, you'd order it. But now we reverse that, and we come to the USA, and a lot of the British and English or European bands, mainly prog music, it was really hard to get airplay over here in the USA. In fact, one band, you know, was like sending, you know, their music out to all the different, and this is like in the last 10, 20 years. That's like, you know, crazy. So like it reversed. That's what was happening here. They were playing all the American music, but they weren't playing the Genesis and the Phil Collins and the Alan Parsons and Marillion. Marillion had a hard time getting airplay over here. But finally, it hit, and we have lovely people that we've had on our show that do prog radio and stuff like that. So we are definitely supporters of the European movement, and, you know, a lot of people say some of their favorite places they've played have been Japan and this and that and then the USA. But, you know, you being here, we'd love to know if you have anything currently coming up, any gigs coming up, and then we'd love to hear about some of the places you have played that you have maybe some stories to tell our listeners about.
Well, I have something at Rockwood, which is a place I play in New York, like an online show, which I'm doing with Ben Stivers, the piano player friend of mine, and that's October the 18th, and that's my next kind of online thing, and that's what I've been doing. I've been doing mainly the online thing. There's been a few outdoors things that I've played, but, you know, they're pretty few and far between, and it's basically been online where most of the music that I've been playing is, you know, Facebook Live and a few things like that I've been doing, you know. So I'm doing October the 18th. There'll be two shows. I do an early show at 1 o'clock and then a later show at 5 o'clock. So I'll advertise that on my page. But that's October the 18th. Mm-hmm. I mean, as for like places that I play, I play basically 100, you know, within 100 miles of most of my shows are within an hour or two of you know, of New York. So that's where I gig, and I've been, you know, lucky enough.
You haven't played on the West Coast yet.
I have played. You know,
we need to get you out here on the West Coast soon.
I would love to when the fires.
When it's safe. Well, you know, let's pray, guys. We're going to make it out of this. But, you know, I know Spencer's huge into the online watching a lot of concerts. I personally haven't really watched a lot online, and that's not because I don't want to support anyone. It's because I've caught a few on Instagram, but he says there's a lot online on Facebook, which I've kind of segued. I still have my company on Facebook, but I've kind of segued a little bit out of Facebook only because of just different things. But where can we find you as far as your social media? Where are you located? Are you on? You're on Facebook, and where else may our listeners find you?
I got my Facebook, which is James Maddock Music,
/facebook.com.
And then I have an Instagram, which is James M.A. Maddock, which I'm fairly active on, but I'm not particularly brilliant at
that. Got
you
on that one.
And then I have my website, which is jamesmaddock.net, which has got information and, you know, my online store and gigs, what few gigs there are at the moment. But that's really it, really. I do it mainly on Facebook, and then my website and my mailing list. You know, I have a mailing list, which I send out periodically. I don't bug people too much with that, but I have a decent mailing list, which people can sign up for if they want, either on my Facebook page or on my jamesmaddock.net website. But that's really it.
Yeah,
no, you know what would be really cool, James, would be after the show, when the show has finished airing, you send that link that I sent you out to your mailing list, and they can click on that and listen to the interview live.
Definitely. I'll be doing all that. I'm going to put
that would
on my
be
page.
Really cool, because then that way you could talk more about your newest
that's
release.
That's a great idea.
I put the show link, Holly, on Vinyl Talk, my Vinyl Talk Facebook site. And so people could see our shows or hear our shows. But yeah, I mean, that's what Holly does is very good, James. She has a big social media mindset. So Holly really goes out there and good coverage.
That's a great idea. I'll definitely do that. That's a really good idea. I never thought of that.
Yeah, I think it would be a great way to introduce people to your latest project. You know, and then they can listen to, you know, a little bit of what you're talking about as far as this release and why you released it and where it was recorded and who played on it and stuff like that and the different tracks.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I'll definitely do that.
We wanted to know, both of us, because I know that Spencer also probably wants to know, when you... What made you decide to do the song "No Time to Cry" and name the CD or this release "No Time to Cry"? Is it based on what's going on in the world right now, or?
Well, that was just kind of fortuitous, I suppose. You know, I needed a title, and that's one song, and I like the title, and the song, and. And it's kind of just, it just did seem to chime a little bit with the times. But the song, I've had that melody around for like 20 years in one way or another.
Really?
That melody.
Wow.
But I had different words to it. And I just thought the words weren't right. So there was something about the lyrics which... And I recorded it once, and I think, you know, some of my fans will know the song under a different title because it had totally different words. And it kind of appeared in one form or another on one of my, I don't know, somewhere. I can't find it now, but it was out there. And then I just thought I was selling it cheap. I don't think that the song's finished. And then I hit on the idea of calling it, writing it about Sophie Scholl, who is the, I don't know if anybody's seen the movie The Final Days. Sophie Scholl was a young woman who was in Germany in the 40s, and she kind of tried to organize a fight back against the Nazis in, I think it was in Munich, I think. And then she was captured. She was only young, you know, like 21, 22 or something like this. And then she was captured, and then she was executed by the Nazis. And there's a film about it called The Final Days. And I watched that film, and it's, it really stayed with me. It's a very, I kind of don't recommend people watch it because it's so
heavy.
Hard to watch. You know, it's so hard to watch. It's so heavy.
But
anyway,
it's reality, so we all have to deal with that.
It happens.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then I just kind of wrote. I just thought I'm going to write a song about her. Give the song a bit more gravitas.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then I looked online and I was doing a bit of research on her, and her name is Sophie Magdalena Scholl. So I thought that sings, you know, Sophie Magdalena. It actually fits the melody. So I got lucky. And I just kind of wrote the song about her, and you know, about the film, you know.
That makes sense.
Wow. Well, you know,
reality
know
is nothing matched to reality. You know what I mean? Reality.
Sure. Yeah. You been writing any new content that is going to be coming out soon?
I haven't. I've been writing. But I haven't I've not got anything really ready to record or anything. I'm just kind of working on a few ideas, but I haven't got anything really ready to go. Having said that, I am doing a live album, a kind of a live album with my friend David Immergluck from the Counting Crows. We play a lot together.
Great group.
And we recorded we did a gig a couple of weeks ago, and I'm kind of mixing that as a kind of live, somewhat of a live album, really.
Yeah.
There was no audience there, but it's me and Dave. It's just the two of us. He plays mandolin and guitar.
Wow, that's nice.
And I'm kind of putting that together a little bit, and I might add something to that with the me. I might me and Ben are playing this gig on the 18th at Rockwood. I'm now thinking, I wonder if we can maybe add some of those songs to it as well, see what we've got at the end of the day. So that's definitely
nice.
Something
that
on the horizon.
That might be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a really cool idea.
I have been writing, and I've got some pretty cool ideas, but I haven't finished anything.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You know, we've all had to become creative during this time that we've needed to stay home, or we're spending more time at home.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it's been gardening. I've OCD'd on my garden. And I know with Spencer, it's been watching old movies and catching up on his work and doing a lot of interviews, you know, with, you know, YouTube interviews on album covers and, you know, his design, you know, life.
Yeah.
And for you, you've been writing and hanging
out with
people. It's so nice that you have such a circle of very talented music, you know, people that
want to
get together.
I just spent I've spent a couple of days with Garland Jeffries hanging out with him.
Nice.
He's my friend. But the thing is, the thing I miss most about the current situation is that I love just going to watch my friends play. There's so many great musicians in town, and I'd love to go and watch them do their gigs and hang out. And that's what I miss the most, actually.
Yeah.
About the, there's no gigs.
Mm-hmm.
You know? There's no gigs to go and you know, to be normal at, and to go and watch the people play and enjoy that, which is one of my great pleasures, as well as doing my own gigs. Obviously, I like to play for the fans, and my normal life routine is completely ground to a halt in terms of live performances. So it's everybody's suffering. I think musicians are suffering more than most, you know. Everything's stopped for us, you know. It's pretty difficult for musicians at the moment.
Like after the show, I see my friend, a very dear friend, Rory Block's a great blues guitarist, and she's has a show on virtual every Tuesday and Friday at 7:30 for an hour. Great guitarist, and I never had the chance to see her, you know, because she would never play in New York. She always played outside. Now I get to see her every week, and she mentions me on the show or something. But it's not about that. It's about and what she does is, you know, you donate. You know this. You donate if you can to the show.
Yeah.
And but the activity, it's very interesting because a lot of people are not able to see a lot of musicians, and now they have a chance to see a lot of these musicians on Facebook. Which Holly was mentioning, and I agree, because unless you're Ronnie, you see these things. But the thing about Facebook is interesting because these musicians just pop up. I mean, they're not a lot of them are not announced. Some are, but a lot of them just come on and they do a gig and then they go off. You know what I mean? Like someone's got a live
that's
show
happening.
Going, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's happening on Instagram too. All of a sudden, I'm sitting there,
yeah,
and all of a sudden,
right.
Aerosmith decides to do something, and you see. And I know Sheryl Crow just recently did a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
and
she's great. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know, I know Sheryl, so it was really interesting to be able to see that. You know, the way that everybody decided to just, you know, do it from their home, and they're all doing it on Zoom because you get different screens for everything, and then somehow you put it together. But you know what I wanted to say to you, James, was I know in Europe it started where they were doing music, they were doing outdoor concerts at drive-in theaters where people could drive in and then either tune into a radio station to hear the people on the stage or the speaker. And now here on the West Coast, that's what they're doing. I just got notification that they're going to be doing quite a few. Yeah, because, you know, I mean, everybody's having to become creative. Like, even in the food industry, it's like called al fresco dining now. Everybody's dining outdoors. So
yeah.
those heater companies are going to be getting it big this fall. You know, they're going to be outdoor heaters. They're going to be making some nice bucks,
it's an ill wind that blows no good.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what's going to happen in New York because the weather is going to start to change soon, and
the
outdoor thing is not going to be
the
very
nice.
Rain's
going to start. What are we going to do when it rains? Right.
Yeah.
We're stuck.
No, it's crazy what they're doing here is they're putting up tents.
They're
putting tents up and putting tables inside the tents in the parks. And because I don't know if you know Sonoma, we have like a little square, so everybody's having dinner in the park.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy. I do know Sonoma. I played Sonoma once in that nice theater that's there in
the
square.
The Sebastiani?
Yeah,
the
really lovely old theater.
Oh, it's so beautiful inside. Yeah, that's just like one of my favorite. My friend Roger runs that place. Yeah, we. That's where I was going to take Richie Ramone and have him play that time. Spence at the Sebastiani, but they didn't.
Wow.
But they did. But he wanted a mosh pit, and there was no way we could do a mosh pit in Sebastiani. Honey, it would tear the whole place up.
my gosh.
Hey, you know, I'm looking at the time we have left, and I am at 11 minutes, and your last song is 7 minutes long. So what I wanted to do was see if we could segue into the end of the show, if that's possible.
Yeah.
With you guys. Spence, did you have anything to say really quick? Because we have
I think we covered all bases.
Left.
I just want to wish James the best. Hopefully, I see him soon. Great. But I got to tell you something. I saw him at the Highline years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When you know, he talked about grabbing somebody. Willie's that way. He got me to. Willie's always introduced me to people, and he grabbed James. James Matic, and I said, "Who is James Matic?" And
awesome.
I saw James Matt, right, James? And so I saw you, and I said, "Oh my God, this music!" And then I met you at the bar, And for some stupid reason, I had the wrong email. I don't know. For all these times, I said, and one day it just knocked me on the head. I said, I got to get him on. This is it. I'm going to die soon. I better get him on.
Well, that's great.
Before I leave
it.
And
so
I'm so happy you're on here. Holly
here.
And I love you. Both of us love you. And
well,
yeah.
Thank
so
you.
Glad you're on. Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's been a great pleasure, and thank you for pursuing it, Spencer. I know it was a bit hard to come by, but I don't know why. I think I'm glad you made the effort. I really appreciate
it. It's a you know you're very and Holly and I are on this. You're an exceptional musician. You're very gifted, and you deserve the very best. And I'm looking forward. We're looking for your next album. Come on, you know, right now. Next album, come on.
And I wanted to make sure everyone out there had James' correct spelling of his last name. It's MADDOCK. So, and then James. So when you go to Facebook or you go on YouTube, put that in. And also
on Spotify
Instagram
and
right
iTunes.
Now.
It's all on Spotify and iTunes.
And
too,
it's on
so
everywhere. Yeah.
I'm easy to find.
And what I want to say really quick before we end the show is it's Friday. Please do not drink and drive. Lots of prayers to all the people out there right now on the West Coast and up in Oregon that are fighting these fires. And prayers are going out to everyone out there. And then also want to say prayers for everyone fighting this global nightmare that we're experiencing in this lifetime. And with that, I want to play the song. The A-Train Takes You Home. On No Time to Cry, make sure you check this out. We have enough time.
Guys.
So, yeah. Love you. And Spencer, have a good
Take
weekend.
Care.
And James,
you too, honey.
I
you too.
Hope that you have a relaxing weekend
yep.
too. I'm sorry to rush through this, but for some reason, the studio is not allowing me to change the time of the show. Otherwise, I would extend it because there's so much more that we need to cover. Yeah. And we would love to invite you back, okay?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, thank
you,
guys.
We want to have you back, James.
Take care, James.
All right?
Take care, Hal.
With that,
we'll see you,
we're going to play The A-Train Takes You Home off James Maddock's newest release, No Time to Cry. Here you guys go. Happy Friday. Go into the fall. Be safe, everyone.
You all come back again.
Yeah, y'all come back in a year.
Yeah. Takes you home.
train takes you.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.